Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively looking out the window here in beautiful Catonsville, Maryland. We're in the 21228, where life is great. I am doing a Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs. These are fresh off the printer. It is fall. It is football season. Luke is out in Owings Mills. Any breaking news happens first on our WNST tech servers. That is brought to you by Bill Cole and Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. Our friends at GBMC are powering me up to get me out on the road. I have my appointments, my colonoscopies. We talked about acid reflux. Been talking about a lot of things here. But nothing more important than, I call it seventh grade social studies. And Don Moeller would stand behind that as he lives about 10 blocks from here in the heart of Catonsville here at the Beaumont. Chad Koss has become my friend through Facebook. Bruce Springsteen, I don't know how I know him. I just sort of know him through the internet. And I said to my wife today, I said, I'm bringing on a mouthy attorney who loves to talk about constitutional law and, you know, things like due process, things like checks and balances, things like the Constitution. So Chad Koss is here. He, one time, I fully want to admit that I really do know you through selling you a Bruce Springsteen ticket on Broadway that was randomly left over, and I hope you enjoyed the show.
That was a terrific thing. It's one of the best things that I've had an opportunity to do for years. I'll never forget it. Really good seats, by the way. But that was different than what you would get from a stadium show, right? Just Bruce up there by himself with a guitar.
And you saw the first tour, right? It was before COVID you went, right? It was the early one, right?
It was actually the first show that they had after COVID. So it's kind of weird. You're in Times Square and that type of thing, and all the restaurants are closed.
Empty.
It was empty. So you couldn't even get, you know, there was like one or two restaurants you could get into. And in fact, I told the story not long ago. I went up by myself for the entire thing because they had the single ticket. And I'm looking to make reservations. And some places are like, well, you can't make one for one. So I told them I had two, and somebody just didn't show.
Right.
So
one
way or another, I ended up getting a good meal, too. But the show was fantastic.
So you saw the second iteration where he talked about his mom and stuff. So I saw it the first time around. Chris Emery of 100.7 had a pair of tickets that he was just trying to get rid of. The first time around, I felt really lucky. Like, and it was, I saw maybe the sixth or seventh show of the first run. And then the second time around when they went on, I'm like, I'm going to go see it again. And I bought a single because my wife's like, I already saw it. And the time we went, those seats at Emory sold me. There was a lady sitting next to us to talk during the show. You don't talk during Bruce Springsteen, and you don't talk during Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, and you don't talk at concerts. So anyway, so my wife's like, I saw it. I don't want to go back. It was expensive. You go have fun. So what happened was I bought a single, and I was going to go alone. And then this incredible pair came unto me. And I bought another pair, and I dragged her back up to see it again. And I loved it so much that I went back 2 weeks later alone, and I got, like, a really good seat, and I had a really good sob with Bruce that night. You know what I mean?
I tell you.
Did you sob?
It's an emotional thing.
Right.
Right? I mean, seriously, the entire story, the way the entire thing is constructed, everything that he did, biographical in a way, even more than that. But, yeah, it's a sacrilege sitting next to somebody in a show like that that's...
So that's the basis of our relationship as I know it. I sold you a Springsteen ticket at face value because I'm a friend. And you had a great night and you thanked me. But have we met before today?
I think one time. Actually, not I don't think. I was over at your place not long ago and we watched the Grand Prix from up.
You were in my home.
Your place in Baltimore. I was there years ago.
You were in my home.
Right. And it was easy to see because Baltimore, you know, wisely tore out
all
the trees for that
event. How did you get into my house? How did I, like, I remember that day I invited a lot of people. I remember Brian Kowitz was at the house. His boy is now on TV out in Tucson from Heller Kowitz Insurance. Not everybody wanted to come down for that, man. Like, it was, but I had the 23rd floor. I lived on the 23rd floor.
Right.
And we took all of our furniture out and we had a cocktail party. And not as many people came as I thought. And my wife accidentally dumped ice on my foot, and I cut my foot open that afternoon.
I remember.
You were there? I was bleeding
there.
All over the place?
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't have a great memory of that. I remember feeling like I was getting a tetanus shot. That's all I remember.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you busted up pretty good.
I limped for a good 2 months after that one. Yeah, that was...
Was it like a 40-pound bag
you
of
were
ice?
There, it was really...
Now, whatever it was, it was big.
It was one of those ice packs that's in packing that had the sharp edge. So it was like maybe an 8-pound block of ice that was more like an ice pick. and it hit me between my metatarsal, on my foot, on my left foot. I can feel it right now. It hit me between my second and third toe straight down, and it sliced my foot up. And this happened 10 minutes before the race started.
Right, I mean, it's
the house
right
was
before.
Packed. I'm bleeding like a stuck pig. My wife's trying to, like, get people drinks, and I'm like, dude, I'm over here dying. And I was bleeding into the drain. Yeah, the IRL. I'm glad they had it here.
Well, I
hope you enjoyed the view, Chad.
It was an unbelievable view. You could see the entire thing. Again, Baltimore,
worst day of my
infinite
adulthood.
Wisdom, cutting down all the trees for the event.
I thought I was going to be in
you
trauma.
You could see everything.
But you love the vroom vrooms? You like cars?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was a good time.
So you've been to Dover?
I've been to Dover.
See, that's the other vroom vroom I've done. Well, three vroom vrooms because we had two races.
Right.
So we had two downtown around my house, and then I went to Dover. I've kissed the bricks at the Indianapolis, but I didn't go to the race. I was there for the Super – it was a party. But I've been to – I mean, tell me, you've been to Indianapolis 500?
No, I've never been to
Dude,
the,
that track's
the
outrageous.
Show.
I mean, because if you're used to racetracks, horse racetracks, it's just – I mean, even Dover's the Miracle Mile, Monster Mile, whatever they call it. Like, that thing in Indianapolis is like
no.
It's like Patterson Park. It's just this gigantic thing.
Enormous. And the scale of everything, you know, with the crowd, the stadium structure and everything in the infield and everything else.
But Dover, for me, it was really loud. That's all I remember it being really fast. Like, my eyes couldn't follow the cars. But I also remember, like, 15 minutes in, I'm like, I don't know who's winning, who's losing. These cars are going a million miles. It's probably better on television for me. But, like, you like it. You
Yeah.
Twice a year they still race down there?
I think they do. Twice a year still.
All I remember is it took hours to get in, hours to get out.
130,000 people.
Well, I was Bud sponsored at the time, and we had Ricky Bobby. I don't know.
That's right, Ricky Bobby.
I don't know. You know.
Shake and bake. If you're not first, you're last.
Shake and bake, baby. Chad Koz is here. So you're an attorney, and I don't know you that well other than the Springsteen thing. And I thought maybe I knew you through football or something, and you're telling me you were at my house for a car race.
For a car race.
I thought it had to have been Ravens or something like that with you, right?
And you usually, that's what it would be.
Well, you're mouthy on the internet about the Constitution and about law and about seventh grade civics. I just want to give you the platform because as citizen Chad, Facebook friend Chad, mouthy attorney Chad, I'm as appalled by I can't believe there's an audience for this at this point, this deep into this.
You know, I can't believe there was one after the first term.
Right.
You know, right? I mean, there were a lot of liberties taken at the time, and as I tried to explain to people, friends, and whatever else, first time around, he didn't know he was going to win. He didn't even have a victory speech that night. So he didn't have the mechanisms in place, and he didn't have the personnel in place to really implement the types of things that he wants to do, which really, at the end of the day, I think at this point, it's difficult to argue otherwise. He's out to have some type of continuous power long after the term. He has no respect for the Constitution in any way, shape, or form. I think we've seen that time and again, especially with the things that are happening in this term. But, you know, they put out the Project 2025 thing, and over the course of 4 years, almost that 4 years in which he wasn't president and Biden was, gave them the time to really mechanize exactly what they wanted to do as far as destroying civil liberties in this country and to preserve his ability to hold on to power indefinitely. That is the number one thing for him. At first, I think the motivation in many ways was to avoid criminal liability for his misdeeds.
Well, the first time was ripping the post office apart
right.
to throw the election.
Exactly.
And then being on the phone intimidating an election official I had Pat Young come in here. Pat, if I have you on the phone and you're calling down to Annapolis intimidating the election official about whether you win the Baltimore County, like, you're expecting to go to prison, right? Like,
right.
Like, we would all expect to go to prison for that.
Right.
Any elected I've sat with said that unto itself is just, that's not normal. We should never accept that as normal. But the insurrection in a general sense was a failed coup. To think that you're going to come back in and have someone that would stage an insurrection that would then relinquish power is inconceivable. It's inconceivable.
No, in this country, you never thought you would see anything like that, you know? And at the end of the day, you look back on it now, and, you know, there are a lot of people I think you can hold responsible for that. Mitch McConnell would be one of them, who now that he's retiring, it's amazing, by the way, how people are more liberal in the way they speak about these things when they don't have to run for election again. But all he had to
do. Or when they write books.
Right. 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 Yeah. Or whatever it might be. I wouldn't say that he's very outspoken right now about anything else.
Well, there's nobody that was in the first administration that would ever. There's no cabinet member. There's no deposed cabinet member. There's no staffer. All the females that ran PR for him, other than the governor of Arkansas, they've all spoken out about, I mean, the John Boltons of the world. Just John Bolton's getting his house raided a couple of weeks. The retribution part is far beyond anything we've seen since McCarthy, for sure, right?
Certainly since then. You know, and look, it's not the first time this country's been through some things like this, right? We had the Red Scare and whatever else. That gave license to people like McCarthy to be ideologues and everything else. But now,
but a weighted Congress and a bought-off Supreme Court is just a different thing.
No. I mean, at the end of the day, the entire thing right now is constructed for him, right? You know, I often hear Republicans and I often hear conservatives talk about how, oh, we don't have this and how we don't have that and the country's going to this and whatever else. Well, you've got the courts. You've got both chambers of Congress. You've got the presidency. What more is it exactly you think you ought have, right? I mean, outside of absolute unlimited power. And when they didn't convict him after the first time, when he threw the insurrection and they didn't convict him, that was the out for everybody. He wouldn't have been able to run again. The 14th Amendment would have precluded it, right? He participated in an insurrection. And I look at some of the other people, you know.
Well, the impeachments didn't work.
No, the impeachments didn't work. And the
first impeachment should have worked because that's literally, you've overstepped what we want a president of the United States, what we've all agreed the power of a president should be in this country.
Right. He's soliciting.
And what an executive order is.
Right. He's soliciting another country to engage in a false allegation and a false investigation for a political gain. And in exchange for that, in one way or another, either withholding aid to them when they're under duress, right?
Extorting other governments.
Precisely. Period. Extorting, I think, is the perfect word.
Which was a core fundamental value that he has shown at every level of business for four decades.
At every turn, transactional in that type of way. You know, the way he stiffs contractors. It's not that he walked into the presidency, by the way, where he had this track record of being a good citizen in one form or another. And I often hear people that lived in New York at the time or have ever encountered him in one way or another, they regarded him as a joke, right?
Sure.
Right, not a serious type of person. But he caught fire, you know, after... You know,
well, the ideology is really what the issue is, because when I argue with the MAGA people online, they don't. And Dan Rodrick and I mean, anybody who follows my timeline knows what the trolls look like and what the talking points are. But like, just seeing Murdoch's kid sitting with Goodell at the football game,
right, Lachlan,
literally last night.
Yes,
and I'm thinking to myself, this is just so not good.
No, it's beyond
this
the pale.
So not good.
And, you know, to skip ahead in the story here a little bit, I mean, look at what's happening right now today. They are using the Charlie Kirk murder, if you will, which, by the way, never would endorse violence of any type. You know, that's not what this country was founded upon. I find
it. I don't want people to have machine guns to be able to murder people. I've been on that for 40 years, right?
Been on it for a very long time.
Yeah.
And now they're using Kirk in one form or another as some type of rallying cry, where now they're actively looking. I heard the Attorney General of the United States of America today talk about how they're going to investigate and go after liberal organizations, talking about how they're going after Antifa. For your listeners that have heard that term many times before, there is no such organization. There's not a meeting. Nobody's going in a convention hall. Simply referring to people that are against fascism. Some of them have acted badly. But when we talk about political violence and that type of thing, statistically speaking, it's 5-1.
Or if we're talking about the murders in Baltimore, Maryland versus red states where people are poor.
Right.
The red states are the ones that don't make money. They're the ones that use most of the taxes. I'm going out to California here this week. California is, fifth biggest economy in the world, right?
Literally. Per capita, the crime rates, especially violent crime rates, are far higher in red states than they are in blue states. And for Trump to sit and talk about places like Washington, D.C., and Baltimore in particular, Baltimore had, I think, 7 or 8 murders in all of August. That was the lowest for any month in recorded history.
So talking about sending the militia in is insane.
Precisely. And when you have...
I lived downtown when they brought militia in after Freddie Gray. That's not... The city's... I was downtown 20 minutes ago. That's where I picked up my lottery tickets.
Right. It's not that. Same thing with Los Angeles. Right? They made it disappear the entire you know, if you watch any of the type of conservative news outlets and whatever else, they acted like the entire city was ablaze. The entire protest was in a three-block radius.
It always
is. You're sending
is.
Active duty Marines into an American city. I often hear people act as if fascism and authoritarianism is something that's around the corner. I need to break it to everybody. We're here now. There are troops in the streets of American cities. By the way, blue cities. I don't see anybody sending anybody down to Arkansas, for example, where the murder rate is far higher, or Florida, or Georgia, or any of these other states, right? It's all to send a message of power and sending people out, military power in particular, to intimidate people from either one participating in the political process, and also to send a message where these types of things, I think people have the idea, they all happen at the same time. In 1 second, right in front of you, right? There's this enormous military rush into half the country, and that's how it happens. That's not how it happens. It's not how it happened in Russia, and it's not how it's happening here. It starts off at the edges, and they work their way to the middle, and people become more and more comfortable because it becomes normal to them. You know, the
I've old had an FCC license here for 27 years is here. Criticizing the government, legitimately criticizing the government, has never been anything that I've concerned myself with losing my license over, because as you're a lawyer defending free speech and Second Amendment, First Amendment, every other amendment, I've never thought that that would even be possible. And, you know, I mean, in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk, it's, you're going to lose your FCC license if you don't take Trump's side. I'm like, what's wrong with you people?
No, it's crazy, especially with the Kirk stuff right now. Now, apparently, by the way, look, two things can be true. There shouldn't have been any political violence against him. But at the same time, holding him up as some type of an idol or some type of good person, I think, is absurd. You know, he peddled in hate and in, you know, what I would consider an ideology that's not compatible with what the United States of America has long shown itself to be. And even The Attorney General of the United States today or last night was talking about going after places like Kinko's or Office or Depot or Staples for just the mere act, by the way, of printing or reproducing flyers that somebody might have in which they said, Charlie Kirk's not a good guy. What type of world is this? What country are we in? I don't live in Russia. I don't live in China. You're going to go after the people that are just printing it? Well, what the hell are you going to end up doing to the guys that are actually writing it or drafting those types of things?
You know, what about, you know, I can't read The Catcher in the Rye.
Right. Well, it may not be burning them yet, but they're certainly banning them from libraries, the Library of Congress. And Trump has done a number on these types of things where they're having oversight of things like the Library of Congress. Like when you look at what they're doing with the Smithsonian, getting rid of exhibits that he doesn't like, getting rid of him as being somebody that hadn't been impeached twice.
I have special people who work at the Kennedy Center, and I'll tell you, it's insane.
It is, and then you see the turnout, obviously, you know, is far lower. And when I think about the Kennedy Center, you know, I don't mean to disparage anybody. I don't think about going down to see Kid Rock.
Right.
That's not what the Kennedy Center is for, the fine arts and for these types of productions. And to have him put himself and install himself as somebody that now is the chairman of it, right? And in fact, I've heard him actually reference the Kennedy Center as the Trump Kennedy Center. You go down in D.C. now, you see these large murals that are hanging down from government buildings. It reminds me very much of what you would see in North Korea or China. And again, it creeps. It doesn't all happen at the same time. Every day it's just one more thing. And the other thing I think they've come to realize is that if you inundate people with this type of stuff, it's
flood the zone.
Right. It's impossible to keep up with it.
Epstein, who's he?
Right.
That was 2 weeks ago.
But who? Epstein? Not familiar with him. I never met him. Right? And it's more than apparent. That drives me crazy, too, when it comes to the Epstein stuff.
Well, to having a sitting elected murdered and her husband murdered and her dog murdered 6 weeks ago, and to have someone mentioned to the president, he says, who is that? The lack of respect on a daily basis, from going back to 2016, going back to when I saw the debates and the way he spoke to women on the podium, that could possibly be attractive to anyone in this country. That's the part that's still 9 years into this. How could this be attractive? And how could you be proud of it? And I think that's the part in the Facebook world that I know you through. By the way,
right.
Chad Koz is here, a local attorney. I'm going to let him talk about his attorney work as well. But I just know you was a mouthy Facebook friend of mine and a guy I sold Springsteen tickets to, and a guy who was in my house on the day when I almost bled to death. I just stand shocked. I mean, I as a Venezuelan born, I was born here, but as a Venezuelan blooded person raised in this white redneck family in Dundalk and Archie Bunker's America in the 70s, and having all of that racism in front of me all of my childhood, and now have those same people, when I see them on Facebook, they have the F. Biden trucks on the top of their, you know, their entire lives are turned over to this cult of political activism that never existed the first 50 years of their life, because they didn't, they failed out of seventh grade social studies. They weren't book readers. They weren't newspaper readers. I worked for the newspaper. They didn't even read it. So, I mean, I grew up in that environment, and to see them arguing constitutional law with me on Facebook, I just, I can't accept that sort of an argument with someone that thinks this is okay. There's nothing about this, that's okay. Nothing.
Just to get
ever
what you're talking about when it comes to immigration and whatever else. When did you think in our lifetimes, I never thought I'd see it, that you would see police officers or people that are government authorities walking around masked?
Without
hiding
identification.
Hiding their faces, yeah. No identification, just grabbing people and throwing them in the trucks.
People look like me, by the way, not like you.
Right.
You look a little Irish. I just got a tan 2 weeks ago, which is problematic. I probably should stay out of the sun.
This right here is a tan for me. You know, one day they may connect.
It's a spotty, but it looks nice.
But you know, a little bit of something there.
So what made you such an activist on this, other than the fact that you studied law? And, I mean, were you a kid that liked social studies? I mean, sir, I've been joking around saying you're going to come and give a seventh grade social studies. But that's really what all of these issues, they're either dignity issues of integrity, of are you honest? They're religious issues of you say you believe in God and you believe in all of these fundamentally Christian propositions about integrity, about honesty, about, or are you just an abject racist, right? I mean, like, and I've seen this act over 10 years. I'm just blown away for our culture. The fact that we're sitting here talking about this instead of football is an incredible thing to me.
It's been quite a change over the last few years, right? And I think one of the reasons for it, one, I think the media has failed us in many ways. I think they're afraid of reprisals, right? You know, when I start seeing media organizations, and by the way, large universities that have always respected academic integrity and free speech.
And science.
Right, writing checks. And major law firms, the biggest law firms in the country. When you look at these types of fascist types of movements, these are the people that you go after first, right? Academics, reporters, right?
Truth seekers.
Exactly. You go after those types of people. People with experience and with knowledge. Scientists, for example. I mean, to the extent, and so much of it is just petty, right? The entire reason to go after the National Weather Service or NOAA is simply because they put out a hurricane map that he didn't like that he tried to supplement with a Sharpie.
Well, what's been done to Anthony Fauci after, man, 7 years of his life serving people and a doctor, and you're you know.
Right.
And turn him into a witch doctor because you don't understand biology enough to understand a virus.
No.
And it was very clear that Trump had no reasoning ability in 2020 to understand what a virus is.
Oh, good Lord. You know, but the entire injecting yourself with bleach or otherwise you're going to, you know, blacklight it out of your, you know, whatever it might be.
Speak your ignorance into, literally.
But the Fauci thing, the notion, and I've heard people say this, the guy that, by the way, prevented Ebola from spreading here, that was integral in making HIV and AIDS something that is survivable. All of the greatness that this guy did over all these years, the notion that he laid in wait for 40 or 50 years of his career so that he could briefly inconvenience people to wear a thin piece of cloth over their mask during an airborne virus that has taken out over 1.3 million Americans is just grotesquely ignorant. And a lot of it comes from social media. These people did not have a forum in which they could reach, right? And also they didn't have the anonymity, a lot of them, in which they could express these views. You mentioned Archie Bunker. Most of us, I would think, would know that he was a parody. That was meant to be funny. He was meant to represent something in the country that was outside of the boundaries.
You know what's
the
even more amazing about him? And if we speak his name out loud, say Carol O'Connor.
Right.
If you, and I've shared a lot of these, maybe you've even seen them, where he, at that time in his life, looks like Archie Bunker, because it's 1975, and he's on the Dick Cavett show, or on a serious show, as Carol O'Connor, and speaking about what Archie Bunker represents, what he's trying to represent in doing this. And it's so it's incredible because it's Archie Bunker speaking against what a parody Archie Bunker was in that period, 50 years old now, and you're looking at it, you're thinking, this is 2-3 years after Nixon. I mean, Nixon is a petty criminal compared to what this is. Whatever this is a biblical heisting of our country. It really is.
So it's almost the difference between loitering
and
Nixon arson.
Was just trying to stay in charge and Nixon was just trying to win an election and stay in charge. I don't think he as bad of a guy as he was or whatever. This is a different level of assault, right? And Nixon's thing was about the war for the most part, right? Like, he was in the middle of Vietnam that got caught up. I was a kid at that time, and I've read the history books. But Tricky Dick, as he is known, busting in and breaking in for some tapes feels like...
small potatoes.
Trump tried to intimidate an election official on tape, and it didn't...
No.
It's 100 times worse than what Nixon did.
100 times worse. And then engaging and actively encouraging people to ransack our Capitol. And this entire battle on fact and truth, you know, George Orwell, right? 1984, the most essential command is don't believe your eyes and ears. We all watched on January 6th in horror. On live television, right before us, what happened.
So the rest of the world.
Yes.
And the rest of the world saw our reaction to that. Re-elect the guy.
Right.
Insane.
And the notion that you have people that now say that these were tourists, that they were down there just asserting their First Amendment rights.
Haven't the United Nations not trust our country?
I wonder that, and I also wonder about that in the sports context, right? 28, we've got the Olympics coming here. 26, we've got the World Cup coming here. If I were somebody from Brazil, for example, or Venezuela... I don't know that I get on that flight here. How could you possibly? How can you ensure your safety? Not, by the way, from somebody on the street just randomly, but from the United States federal government, right? I find it, right? I think that these organizations ought to
be... Well, what they did to the Koreans down in Atlanta is unbelievable, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they invite them over to create a plant and then raid the place and throw them out? I mean, that... This goes back to trust. This is basic relationship 101, right?
Right.
Can we be trusted in that way? Can we trust our government? And that's the part that I just find the week after the Charlie Kirk thing where the seeds of division have been sown for this civil war that no one sane wants.
No.
But the ones with all the guns want it somehow. And that should be frightening to everyone.
That should be frightening to everyone, but I also think that there's a great deal of irony. And one, I found a lot of these people over time to be sadistic in many ways, but I also heard them for all these years proclaim, right? They all proclaimed, well, the reason why I need to have this arsenal at my house
is... protect me from the government.
Right, and when the liberties start eroding, I'm here to help defend them. Well, Chief, where are you today? Right? When there are Marines on the streets of Los Angeles and that there are National Guard troops, by the way, that are essentially garbage men. That's how we treat our troops. Trump went out of his way to commission them only for 29 days so he didn't have to give them the $2,500 bonus or being active for 30. You've got these people that are sleeping.
Jack, yes. 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 Jack says yes. Jack said yes. He said yes to the lamb chops at the Beaumont.
Yes, sir.
There it is.
Good seeing you. Nice seeing you, Mr. Antwerp. We got the Antwerpers are all out here having lunch here. I knew you'd say yes.
I'll tell you, well, they obviously have...
they have good taste in
lamb chops.
They have
good taste in food, right. They know what's happening here.
No one listens to this show.
Nobody.
You know that.
Well, you know, what is it? You've had like a million views or something like that?
Something
just
like
on your
that.
Facebook? Not
well,
so long ago.
And listen, and that's the thing about social media that I would say. I put up something about the Ravens. It might have... If I put up something about Charlie Kirk, people are so much more interested in it in some way.
Right.
And I came at this from the baseball and football because I love my city, right?
Right.
And the whole like running for mayor thing in 18 was because I saw the city on fire and I felt like we had corrupt humans running the city. I don't believe Brandon Scott's corrupt. I mean, I've sat with him. I mean, say whatever you want. You don't like Brandon, whatever you feel about Brandon. I don't feel like there's an on the take or he's becoming a billionaire by being mayor. I think he's a guy that worked his way up that sought being to help the city. And whether it's not an easy job, right? I mean, no matter who would have it. But that whole notion of me going into that lane was like, I love the city more than the Ravens do or the Orioles do. They're here like a commodity. You know, I live here And when I hear the President of the United States denigrating our city, that should burr everyone up the way it would burr you up if you said something bad about the Ravens or about Lamar Jackson. You know, like, where is the real civic pride? Where is the real national pride that goes beyond, like, what makes a community, you know? Like, we land a pleasant living. That's why we sit together, you know?
And for all the foibles and flaws of Baltimore, and, you know, we could talk about that for a day, look at what Scott has managed to do and the community's managed to do in reducing violent crime over a relatively short period of time. The murder rate is lower than it has ever been. Whatever they're doing is being effective. And it reminds me anecdotally of one of the problems that we're having in this country. I'm not going to reveal who it is or who he works for, but somebody in management at a conservative news outlet. And I raised that with him one day. I said, you know, last month, Baltimore only had 4 homicides. It's the lowest on record. I turned on your broadcast and never mentioned it. You know what he told me? If I did, they'd fire me. Right? So there's this control over what facts are at this point. And this is why social media has become so dangerous. You can write, so long as you got the followers, you can write whatever you want. And then what the right really has done is created this echo chamber where you hear it over and over and over and again. And even if your own eyes and ears tell you differently, people will subscribe to it because when they think you're coming from a trustworthy source. When you and I were younger, right, there were 3 stations, right? You had your Cronkite, you had your Jennings, your Brokaws, and that type of thing. There may have been a little bend or a little lean in those types of things in one way or another, but you could always rely on the facts and
the journalism.
If all
4 were reporting the same thing.
Right, right. And there was a commonality.
Those are the legs on the table to give the integrity that this, you know, if Brokaw is reporting it and Harry Reasoner's, if it's across 4 stations, it's real.
Right. And those
that's
people,
what led us to believe a man landed on the moon.
Exactly.
Right? Like, literally, right?
Right. Well, you hear, geez Louise, you hear that now, that we didn't land on the moon, and flat earthers, for God's sake.
The day I rode with John Glenn down at the Congress, sitting with somebody that's actually done it.
Right.
He's lying to us all along. Buzz Aldrin was lying to me.
I know you have many listeners to believe it, but just to throw it out there to you, if the earth were indeed flat, there'd never be nighttime. You know, there would be light all the time.
I tried to explain that to the guy last week out at DeSantis. It didn't work.
No.
He was convinced the earth was flat.
No.
Because he really was.
Because scientists now are bad people. People with acumen and expertise are bad people. And they've all been purged from government. And, you know, this attack on civil servants bothers me a great deal. You know, acting as if they sit around, you know, scratching their behinds all day and they're not doing a thing for anyone. These people have given their lives in service to this country. Not in a military type of way, but in serving us in the civil capacity. And making sure everything runs on time. Making sure you get your Social Security on
your time. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. I needed to land safely.
Right.
Right?
Right. And you remember the first couple of months of the administration, right? They start lopping off FAA... Right? The
well,
air traffic
these people
controllers.
Out in Western Maryland that voted for this clown, and then they have a flood, and then nobody comes to help them. FEMA doesn't show up.
Right.
You're in America. We've had a tragedy. We take care of our own. That's a Springsteen song. There
it's
you go.
Exactly right.
There you go.
And we've always taken care of our own. But you look at California, look when they have the wildfires, and the first thing Trump does is refuses to give them any type of assistance. When you look at this,
what
too,
a joke that is, and I say to my wife, we got to rake our leaves so we don't have a fire.
Right,
what
by the mean? Way. By the way, most of it's federal
it's
land. And as if, by the way, what are you going to, you're going to consign
it
them?
It, anyone that would hear it, if that guy was sitting at the end of the bar here, you'd say, that's a nut.
Right.
That's just a nut.
Right. A crank is what we used to call them.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
right?
Like,
something wrong
rake
with
the leaves so we don't have Canadian forest fire.
Right.
Like, are you trolling me or are you being, you just don't understand science?
But
right?
here's a statistic, and I'm almost positive of the number, and if it's not right on, it's almost right on. This constant talk about blue states and cities and that type of thing being the takers in this country. State of California gives more than $85 billion above what they receive from the federal government every year. State of Texas takes $65 billion more than what they give. And when you look at the list of the top 15 states that are takers compared to the ones that are actually contributing economically to keeping the train on time, if you
right.
will, 14 of the top 15, I believe, are red states. Of course they are. There's far more poverty down there. And they're also the people that end up suffering far more with the Trump policies. You know, people that end up shopping at Walmart to make ends meet, right? Those are the places getting hit with the tariffs. That's where the things from China are coming in, those types of things. I hear Trump sit there talk about $2 gas. Gas is less than $2. Grocery prices are lower. Where? Not where I've been, right? And people can see that with their own eyes and ears. They know it because they've gone to the grocery store. They've paid for those
things. I hoarded coffee this week, Chad.
I think
just because I'm getting nervous.
Right. If you're going to have good coffee, you better start doing it.
Man, I can't, you know, I can't go through a civil war with bad coffee. You
know what
I mean? I don't want to do that. I got to prepare.
I mean, you're gonna have to have a little caffeine to keep the fight going.
That and fresh oats for me. I don't know who's going to pick the berries when they throw everybody looks like me out of the country.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that.
Well, you know, and that's the other
thing. My wife's worried about the bees. I'm worried about who's going to pick the berries.
Right. And you want to talk about civics and whatever else. The absolute dereliction of the Supreme Court of the United States is astonishing to me. They essentially had a ruling just a few weeks, more or less endorsing the entire idea of racial profiling, right? And eliminating these stays that lower courts have given that are well-founded based upon long-standing jurisprudence and permitting these things to go on for years before they get back to the Supreme Court. And it's not just in that arena. It's been in when it comes to free speech and whatever else. There are a few people that you can point the finger at. John G. Roberts Jr. I think he will go down. His legacy will be understood in the annals of history as being the worst Supreme Court Chief Justice that we've had since Roger B. Taney.
Can I ask you a seventh grade civics question? Chad Koz is here, by the way. What kind of attorney are you? Tell me how to find you and all that. Give a little speech because I want to ask you about law.
You got it. Chad Koz, LLC, Chad Edward Koz, LLC. We operate out of Parkville, Maryland. Been an attorney for 27 years. Do a lot of litigation work, trial work, whether that be personal injury types of cases. We do family law. Do a lot of bankruptcy work. Actually teach bankruptcy law to attorneys. I've been practicing that now for 27 years. And, you know, essentially I love being in a courtroom. I love having the opportunity to go in and make an argument, to advocate for somebody, especially when their interest aren't going to be heard without that type of help, right? I take great pride in doing that type of thing for clients. And I have a great number of clients that otherwise they wouldn't be able to afford or wouldn't be able to have access to
people
the legal
system.
People
come to you when they're getting screwed, period, right?
Right.
That's literally,
right?
They're already mad. They're already traumatized. They're already behind. They're already hurting and physically, psychologically, emotionally, whatever it is, right? They're angry. They're all that.
Right. I've always laughed that, you know, the day that the guy that wins the Powerball and wants me to help him structure his settlement, that'll be the day that I will retire from the law, for I will feel as though I finally had somebody come in.
Happy.
That, right. I always joke with people when they come in.
I got a good problem. Right?
Like, I'm glad to meet you, but I'm sorry you're here, right?
I
mean, they're coming in because they have a problem and some type of issue they need to have resolved, and they need a mouthpiece. They need somebody that's going to go out and argue for them and advocate for their position. So I take a great deal of pride in it. I've done it for 27 years. And
well, at a fundamental level, you go into the place where it gets solved, the court of law, whether it's circuit, district, federal, whatever it is, and try to get a fair outcome for people in dispute, right? Like, judges are supposed to be, and in a world where neutrality is all relative, but when you start to believe as a lawyer and start to see it and see law firms, my dear friend Charles Tobin defended the Associated Press. He also defended me in a case that was nefarious and silly a couple of years ago as well. But I see what's being done to law firms in regard to disbarring them, not allowing them in federal courtrooms. From a legal standpoint, from where you are, you just call that Supreme Court. You're mostly concerned about that, right? That's the thing none of us will see, right? When these Supreme Court cases view it in Trump's way that would be unconstitutional in any other walk of life over the last 248 years or whatever. Right.
Right. You know, for the longest time in my life, my entire life, and what I think for the first 249 years of this country's existence, no man is above the law, right? Supreme Court pretty much ruled last year, yes, he is, right? He's immune. It's kind of funny. I often hear them talk about going after Biden for this or Biden for that, who never perpetrated such a thing, such a scam on the United States of America. So Trump has immunity for whatever he might do, but the last guy didn't. And you mentioned it before about some of the things you saw about the Biden with the violence. I remember Trump reposting or retweeting something where somebody had painted on the back of their pickup truck what appeared to be, but didn't appear to be,
it was a coffin.
It was Biden with like a ball gag.
Yeah, I saw it.
Right? And with his hands bound and everything else. But now you can't go to Kinko's and say, yeah, maybe Charlie Kirk wasn't the great guy you're making him out to be. We're going to prosecute you for a civil rights violation. The weaponization of justice in this country, and clearing out, by the way, the most reliable, most dependable, most experienced people. You saw it just recently with the Kirk issue itself.
I don't know how anybody can work at the FBI and look at Cash Patel and think that that's a serious leader of my organization, or what's going on at Social Security right down the road here. Like, Vince McMahon's wife's running education in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, she's never been a teacher of anything in her life. I mean, this kook, this Kennedy kook.
Right.
That it's absolute kook.
I mean, that type of thing. And by the way, that ends up engendering and ends up permitting the types of the things that you're going to see in Florida. I've seen a great study about that. You know, Florida now is now not going to have mandates for children to have vaccines of any kind. I welcome everybody to go online and take a good look at what polio looks like and what an iron lung would be. And what otherwise would be when you have smallpox or something to that extent, right? We eradicated these things. These things, vaccines were a gift from God. I hear it about the COVID thing. I'll never understand it for the life of me. You can look at the charts. You can see the death rate plummeted. If there's nothing else that Trump did in his first 4 years that you could hang your hat on and say, job well done. You know, remember Bush back in the day, bang up job, Brownie. It was getting those vaccines out. I don't know to what degree he had much to do with it, right? I think the pharmaceutical
He called it a Democratic hoax.
Right.
He called COVID a hoax.
A hoax. Yeah.
Yeah, he called it a hoax.
So if you look at the statistics and you actually look at the graphs, by the way, Republicans and conservatives died at a far greater rate because they denied themselves the vaccine. And now they want to, you know, essentially I've heard Kennedy say that banning the vaccine outside of people that have pre-existing conditions, which I know a lot about that right now. It's insane to me that we would limit our ability. And not only that, by the way, we're also with a lot of these things when it comes to science and technology. We're turning them over to other countries, right? When it comes to AI, for example. There's a great thing that's a story that I just read right now with the chips and everything else that go into AI. We're selling a bunch of them to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, right? Well, you can trace the money, the billions of dollars that have gone into crypto coins for Trump and whatever else. His net worth during his presidency has gone up from $2 or $3 billion to $8 billion now, right?
In 6 months.
Right. It's an astonishing. A day in the life of Donald Trump and his administration is a day chock full of corruption, right? Right? It's all a grift. Everything's a grift. We have a president of the United States. Imagine Barack Obama. Imagine Ronald Reagan. Imagine
selling gold-plated autographed Bibles.
Selling shoes and cologne from the Oval Office. I mean, is this really what America is?
Well, I had a picture taken down on Facebook of Hitler in front of the Volkswagen factory. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the picture, it was the day that he did the thing with Nazi Boy down at the in the Oval Office. I mean, like, literally at the White House.
Right.
They pulled up a car.
Yes.
Right? And there is an image, not an image, video, of Hitler doing that with Volkswagen in 1936. Like I thought, this is a left-wing conspiracy. This is that Antifa putting out fake AI memes about Hitler and Volkswagen to compare Trump to Hitler. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Hitler usurped Volkswagen and stood in front of Volkswagen, and the pictures were almost identical.
Almost
identical. And on that day, I put the picture, not of Trump up, I put a picture of Hitler, a historical picture from a historical site of Hitler welcoming the Volkswagen people. Facebook took the picture of Hitler and Volkswagen down.
And that, you know, that's the other...
I just put the picture up.
Nestor, what a pathetic display watching somebody like Tim Cook walk into the Oval Office with a gold bar. It's a real sad commentary in America right now that the best political parody, or at least the biggest political statement you can get right now, is from two guys from Colorado who have a show about foul-mouthed, you know, elementary school children. That right now is like the greatest. Where's the leadership, by the way, from the Democratic Party? Where are they today when there's people talking about, like the Attorney General of the United States talking about arresting people for exerting their free speech in this country? Right? That's something you thought would never go away here. You know, everybody's a literalist when it comes to the Second Amendment, it seems. At least that's what they say. They forget the part about the well-regulated militia. The well-regulated part always gets forgotten, doesn't it? you have freedom of speech in this country. This is essentially freedom. It is essentially political speech, right? You know, commercial speech, there may be a little different rules about some of the things you can do with that. But when it becomes an issue of politics, like you have with the Kirk issue that's happening right now, and the, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I saw her put something up today asking for a national divorce. I see them riling people up in a time when people should be settled down. We should be bringing people back down, bringing them back to level.
Well, I mean, Fox News asked Trump if he wants to help divide the country or bring the country together. He could care less.
Couldn't care less.
Couldn't care less.
Can't imagine any other president of the United States saying such a thing at any time, much less at a time of
and
such tumult.
And that Congress wouldn't just go in and say, you're gone.
Right.
You're going to stand in front. I mean, you know, John Harbaugh stood up and said, I couldn't care less about the fans. They would fire him tomorrow. They would.
Get rid of him tomorrow.
Just on the face of it.
Right. And
even if he doesn't care about the fans.
and even when we had that. People that were ideological or more ideological in that highest office in the land, you could depend on them at least to pretend that they were a president for everyone. He doesn't make that effort at all, like we were talking about before. When it comes to aid after a disaster, whatever.
The MAG is right. He's your president, too. I'm like, nah.
No.
Nah, you know.
No.
It's like saying the Ravens or the Orioles are my team. They're not my team. They're your team. They're a team I know a lot about and cover as a journalist. That's where I am at this point.
That's a great point that you bring up. And it's almost at this point religion, right?
Right.
I mean, seriously.
It's a cult. Right. You're either in or out.
Think about anybody you might have voted for in the past. Do you have flags adorning your house of those people? In perpetuity, by the way. Are you wearing T-shirts? They've made their identity into this person, right? And it's a very difficult thing dissuading people from acting the way they do or buying into this nonsense because everything about them is wrapped up in it now. It's their whole identity.
There could be nothing wrong.
Right? Yeah. And Carl Sagan, I think, has a great remark about this. That, you know, nobody wants to be told they're stupid, right? They're just going to double down on it. You know, even if you show them what they're saying, physically can show them what they're saying with their own eyes and ears, they're going to be reticent to ever admit that they're wrong about something because it makes them look like a fool. Nobody wants to look like a fool. But at some point, you need to start taking, I think more people in this country need to start taking account of what type of world we're leaving for children, right, for the younger generation. I'm delighted to see that a lot of them that kind of bent towards Trump in the last election, that's completely fallen off.
I was disappointed with the Charlie Kirk things, how appealing it is to young people.
Yes.
That message to friends of mine's children in the last week that I've seen on my Facebook, and I'm like, that's dangerous. Charlie Kirk had a very dangerous message. I didn't want the gun to be purchased that assassinated him. I fought all of my life to make sure that knucklehead wouldn't have a gun.
No.
You know.
No, and the young kid, and that campus, by the way, in Utah. They weren't allowed to restrict people from having firearms.
Right.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen when everybody around you is packing? I don't need to go to the Starbucks and have a guy with an AR on his back.
I'll just say this at the end for me with the gun thing. Like, even on my own, if I had had a gun all my life, I might be in jail by now, right? I might be thinking about using it. If I had it, I'd use it, right? And if you use it, your life's over. No matter what, your life's over.
If
you use the gun that you have at your house on another person, your life's never going to be the same.
Right.
Whether you go to jail for it, whether you don't, but your life's going to be troubled if you use that gun.
And make no mistake.
Go up here, gun tree. Bah, 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 bah. Yeah, you're okay, great. Use it one time for real, and I promise you they're going to need a lawyer like you or a dozen. In whatever way, and the red lights and the blue lights come to the house, nothing good happens.
At best, their lives are never the same.
You're having a good time on weekends, entertaining yourself, and wearing your little earmuffs, and feeling like you're in the streets of San Francisco, or in Beretta on some television show. I don't know.
I'm sure anecdotally that there's some instances where somebody, you know, you always hear the notion, you know, the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Where are all these stories?
I went to Hollabird Middle School. If everybody there had a gun, we'd all be dead by now.
Right?
Like, literally, I grew up into all of that.
Well, when I think of classrooms, the first thing I think about is crossfire. I think that's a great idea. And then that movement for the longest period of time where teachers, look, I had some very good teachers in my life. But I also had some teachers in my life I wouldn't trust with a slingshot, you know, much less a potato gun, right? I don't want them packing a military-style rifle
in
my
classroom.
Wasn't
that amazing? Every teacher should have a gun. That was the
right.
explanation the first time he was president.
Right.
I mean, this stuff's it's batshit.
No.
I don't know what to say.
And by the way, it contaminates the mind of children, right? How do you feel
insane.
Safe walking through metal detectors and all the rest of it? This isn't the way children should be growing up in a world that, you know, in a country that's armed to the gills.
Well,
that's not the way we should be doing things.
Well, it's been fun having, you know, this conversation with you. I wish we were having, like, more Springsteen or whatever.
I hope so. I hope we get to do that some other time in a better day, right?
Yeah. You know, and when Bruce comes out, I guess it does inspire me. And the music that we enjoy is inspiring because it's hopeful, right? Like,
right.
things that are hopeful and a world that is hopeful, right?
It is.
And we sat here the last 45 minutes, and I don't know what's the solution. You know, what have we learned here, as we would say, or whatever. It's just, you know, we need to do better. That's all. We just need to do better.
That's it. We should demand more from the people that we elect, right?
Sure.
And be a little less myopic, look forward into the future about what type of place we want to live in. Everything's fine when it's happening to somebody else. Eventually, they're going to come for you. You don't think so. But, you know, people put their heads down. And I've often thought about, and I'm sure you have, and many people long before this ever happened, they look back at Germany back in the day and say, how did so many people just go along with it? I feel that way now. Good people, intelligent people, sensible people that I know, that prior to him, I would have never thought they harbored such ideas. And now they just
go along with it. Or
right,
go along with it. Right.
But they'll go along with it now because it doesn't adversely affect them yet. Eventually it will. I can most assure you that it will.
Oh, I thought I was white the first time Trump got elected. Now I realize I'm not.
Now you're not.
I'm definitely not.
Be careful.
Yeah. I'm definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chad Koz is a local attorney. He once bought Bruce Springsteen tickets for me and once watched me bleed to death in my condo during the IRL race a decade ago.
It's great to see that you've made a full recovery, and I'll never forget the concert ticket. It was one of the great things I've ever seen.
That little pinky winky bone in my foot when I think about that ice pack coming down and me being like, that's going to leave a mark.
Now, in fairness, I was a good distance from you, and I did hear it crash on the floor. So I know that whatever got you had some heft.
It went.
That's right.
You actually heard it hit the granite. Yeah.
Yes, it echoed.
And then I screamed.
Yes.
And then I left the room, and then I was gone from the party.
That
As I remembered, I wrapped my foot in ice. I took Advil. I was pretty traumatized. I realized, like, I had 40 people in my house, and I just said to Jen, I'm like, I can't go out there right now. I'm in too much. I'm going to lay down and take a nap. And I laid down, and when I woke up, everybody was gone.
I don't remember.
That was my whole day.
I spent
4 months planning a party that you attended that I don't remember you being there because only thing I remember is how much pain I was in that day.
I don't remember who won, but I remember them going fast, and I'll never forget you hurting your foot. Those were my two thoughts about that day.
I had forgotten about hurting my foot until you walked in here.
I'm sorry to be
ago.
The you know the bad tidings, but. But
you
again,
know,
I can see
like every awful thing that happened to me. I got over it.
The limp is going. You're looking great. I'm
you know,
glad
one day
wonderful.
You and I are going to get together, and Trump's going to be gone, and we're going to say, "It all worked out."
I still have optimism about our country. It's not over yet. But if we don't start acting right with the 26 midterms coming up and everything else, I don't know that we have a 28 election. That's how important it is, and people need to start speaking out every way that they can and try to influence everybody you know.
And that's what I'm doing here. With my FCC license.
That's right.
Freedom of speech, freedom of lamb chops, and delicious fried lobster tail. We're over at the Beaumont. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Raven scratch-offs to give away. I'll be giving them away at the bar. We're also going to be joined by Councilman Pat Young out here today at the Beaumont Crab Cake Tour in full bloom, as is Ravens football season. And my dude, Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills as well for all that we need there. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from the Beaumont on the Crab Cake Tour. And my thanks to Chad for being a great guest. There you go. 1 hour of 7th grade social studies, huh?
My pleasure. Thank
you
so much for having me.
Glad I paid attention to Mr. Schley and Ms. Simpkins' class back in the day.